Good. So I'm going to read it one more time, just so I can see it, so I can kind of process where I feel the Holy Spirit may want to lead me. It says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now, have you ever heard of the phrase, once saved, always saved? Yes. You heard that? What side of the spectrum are you on that statement? Do you believe it's true, or do you believe you can lose your salvation? That's actually wrong. Because, no knock to that, because a lot of Christianity believes it. Now, that statement right there is very controversial. So don't just go out there and say, once saved, always saved, because if you're not theologically sound, then it's going to be round for round of debates and back and forth. Now, why do you think, and I'm of the belief, that one cannot lose their salvation? Because salvation is not a man-made thing. It's a God-made thing. Now, one of the greatest attributes of God is that God is all-knowing. If God is all-knowing, then why would he pursue someone or save someone that he cannot keep? So if you knew that pursuing this relationship or pursuing this thing was going to be a waste of time, those who have a working brain would not waste their time. Every attribute of God connects itself. So if you're saved by God and God is all-knowing, and God says, I'm not going to waste my time pursuing someone who is going to end up leaving me for good, then why would he even pursue it? So now the real question is, have I truly been saved by him? Salvation is not by works. I cannot make myself saved. I didn't choose God. God chose me. The Bible says the goodness of God draws us to what? Repentance. So when you think about salvation, salvation is not something that you got at 6 years old or 12 years old or last week. Salvation is something that you ain't even know happened to you. One of the evidence that you've been saved is that you no longer the same person that you once was. Another evidence of salvation is that you don't sin the same way anymore. Like, you still sin, but your heart is like, I don't like this no more. Over a period of time, you begin to see yourself grow. Now, let's break down this verse so that you guys will be able to understand why once saved is always saved if salvation comes from God and not from us. Jesus said in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. That word my is very possessive. When you say that's my PS5, that's my man. You know what I'm saying? That's my iPad. That's my glasses. That's my clothes. Your sister is in your closet taking your stuff. You're like, yo, that's mine, Tiana. Like, that belongs to me. You know, or if you have a little brother, a big brother, they in your closet, that's yours. That word my is very possessive. And so when you possess something that is actually yours, it's yours. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So he's saying, the other side of that is, you know, I'm as a sheep. I know my shepherd's voice, but the shepherd was my shepherd before I even knew that I was his sheep. So my sheep hear my voice. So one of the evidence that you are his is that you know his voice. Like if God is a stranger to you, you're not going to really recognize his voice. You recognize scripture, but you may not recognize his voice. And the thing that I tell people is, one of the staples of maturity as a Christian is when you actually cherish, love, and obey his voice. So knowing his voice is a prerequisite, is evidence of that he is pursuing you. And it says, and I know them. And I love that because he says he knows you. What is so good about being known by God? How is that comforting? Being known. Yes, we are. He knows how you feel because he has experienced how you feel. Now, I don't know if I went over this with you all, but we said, I don't know if it was this class or another class, we talked about how Jesus was tempted at every point. Did we talk about the different types of points that he was tempted at? Oh, we already did. So when Jesus was tempted at every point, that doesn't mean that he experienced or was tempted with all types of depths of sin. You know, if you're at the point of a sin, you can feel the pit of the sin. That doesn't mean he was tempted to be gay. It wasn't like that mean he was tempted to sleep with a woman. It just means he was tempted with the overbearing desire. And all desires have the same ingredients. But he says, and I know them. And what I love about being known by God is that's a judgment-free zone. That's why Christianity or churchianity has created this mentality that God judges, that God looks at you and tallying up all your sins and giving you side eyes and rolling his eyes at you when you make a mistake. That's not God. Because God says, I know you. Do you know when God sees your sin, he knows exactly why you're sinning? And so if the one knows why you're sinning, then why not go to the one to help you out of the root reason of why? So if you're falling in a deep pit of sin, God ain't going to judge you because of the sin you did. He's going to measure by what got you in the sin, because he knows if you just forgive your dad, fam, this sin will fall off. See, everybody wants to treat the fruit of a sin. Give me a fruit sin. Something that, you know, the outcome of a sin, like, or the fruit sin, like, just give me an example, like something that you just did. What people do that's like, dang, I sinned. Give me a fruit sin that's evident, that you see, that you know. Lying. Boy, y'all love lying. Y'all love lying. I'm just joking. Kids lie. And kids, now, we all lie. You know why we lie? One of the reasons why we lie is because, number one, we don't want to get in trouble. We lie because, I lost my train of thought. We'll come back to me. Now, the fruit of the sin is lying. Now, what is the root reason why people lie? There we go. Why do people lie from y'all's vantage point? Or why do you lie? We all lie, so it ain't. There we go. We lie because we are afraid of the pain that person may feel if I tell them the truth, right? What's the only reason why we lie? Yes, sir. Get away from trouble, so to avoid trouble. And what was that first one? Not to hurt people's feelings. That's the root reason, right? So God knows exactly. He's not going to be like, oh, you lied again. He's going to be like, you know, it's okay to not put yourself in a position to lie. You know that. You know it's okay, right? Like, we lie because, dang, I put myself in that position. Now I got to lie to avoid the trouble. All right? So we treat the fruit sin, but God is like, I know you enough to know the root sin. And we may think that's a root sin, but there's a rooter sin. A rooter sin is not a root, but it's a rooter. It's a made up word. It's a rooter sin because there's always a deeper level of why we sin. And he says, and I know them, which is very key, because now when you stand before God and you find that sin, he's not looking at you judging. He's like, yo, I'm actually observing the root reason and I know you. And the flip side of him knowing you is he knows the best side of you. Like, for instance, like when God looks at you, he sees his original plan for you. He sees you with that bakery business. He sees you on that stage singing. He sees you as a lawyer or a business person or a dancer, or he already sees it. And because he sees it, he's like, I know the you I made, not the you your mama made through her opinions, not the you your daddy made through his opinions. I know you. Let's keep going. He says, my sheep, being possessive here, not possessive, that sounds so bad, but ownership, he owns and loves. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. One of the second evidence is not only do I hear his voice, but I follow him. 28 says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. Now, if you can lose your salvation, why would he make that statement and say, you know, if you're truly mine, if you truly received me, if you truly love me, we're talking about salvation that was God did, right? He says, I give them eternal life. Now, why would God give? If I go to Brianna, I say, here's eternal life. And then I'd be like, nah, because you said I'll take your eternal life. Once you are given eternal life, you can't lose eternal life. Because God doesn't pursue somebody that he doesn't know that will actually follow him. So I give you eternal life and they will what? Never perish. So these are big words for this to erase the ideology of, oh, if you're saved. Now, this may be controversial, but I'm just going by the Bible. That, oh, I got saved and then someone can come snatch my salvation. Like, that puts power in our hands. So I determine my salvation. Does God determine my salvation? If God determines it, then why would God be like, oh, we got to take it from her because, no, it's a contract that says fully guaranteed. It ain't no, you know, athletes, they get like a $150 million contract, 80% guarantee. And if you do this and go to the playoffs, then we'll give you extra. It's a fully guaranteed contract. Not because of our works and our greatness. And it's based upon God's faithfulness and goodness. He says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And what does it say? And no one will snatch them out of my hand. He says, you can't even jump out of my hand. The devil can't snatch you out of my hand. This is Jesus talking. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me. The Bible says the goodness of God draws to repentance. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Meaning he's greater than you. He's greater than your mama's influence, your daddy's influence, your friend's influence, that drugs influence, that pornography influence, that sex influence. He's greater than all. So he's saying, even when I've chosen you and you still made mistakes, that can't take you out of my hand. Oh, you sinned last night, you're still in my hand. Oh, you wandered away from me for 5 years, still in my hand. God says, man, you can walk away from me like the prodigal son. Did the father chase the prodigal son? No, the prodigal son came to himself and went back. So God is saying, I know you'll come back. Go on be with him, go on be with her, because in 2026, you'll be right back with me. Because God is all knowing. God says, man, you can be in that sin for 5 years, but if I chose you, if I pursued you, if I possessed you and made you my own, you can't lose this eternal life. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. So what am I trying to say this morning is that I'm trying to get you to intellectually understand theologically that if you truly have the evidence and fruit of salvation, we're not talking about a song was played and the organist and the pianist was playing so well that it moved your heart. We're not talking about that the preacher or the pastor are clearly articulated the consequences of not accepting him. And then one day you say, you know what, I'm going down there. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you are truly a different person. I've had students come to me and they profess their love for God. And I see the glow. I see the change. See, when you've been in the game a long time, you know the difference. Like I've been in the game for 30 plus years and I can look in this room and I'm not saying I'm accurate, but I can tell who's authentically saved to a degree based upon the hunger, based upon the rebound from a mistake based upon certain things. Now, as a kid, it's hard to determine because hell is such a motivator. Like, it's a quick snatchback when there's a hell thing involved, right? Like when there's like that, oh, I don't want to go to hell. But when the motivation is, man, God, you're good, man. Something in the depth of your soul says, man, I really like God. I'm really feeling him. Like he get on my nerves and all, but I still come back to him. Like, I think I'm in love, God. Like, God, I think we got something here, right? Like those feelings. And then as you get older, you begin to recognize like, man, I don't want to be her no more. I don't want to be him no more. God, I'm sensing a change in me. Like I'm sensing that you can tell who's not saved probably, huh? Some people who's talking during my message, probably good evidence that you might not be with him. Go ahead. That's fine. Might be evidence. I'm not calling nobody out, but if you entertain demonic energy, And let me tell you why people do certain things. There's no knock to you all. Please hear me when I say this. That's why there is no coincidence that when a preacher preaches, especially along these lines, there's little whispers. I remember in my Bible class, when I was their Bible teacher, when I was talking about spiritual warfare, it was crazy that within 5 minutes of my message, the whole room started whispering. It was the weirdest thing. And I stopped the class and said, thank y'all for letting me know you're on the devil's side right now. Because y'all, kids are unaware of the demons they have that gets agitated. That's why I tell people, and you probably heard this before, like, don't be surprised when your presence agitates their demons. And that's why when you're around certain people, they start acting crazy because there's something about you that's active. And I'm not saying them or anyone. I'm saying you have to be cognizant of recognizing if I'm more prone to do this or that while a pure gospel message being preached, then I got to assess what side of the equation I'm on. Am I trying to hinder the word or am I trying to help the word? All right. But when you begin to think about evidence of salvation, you begin to say, yo, man, and that's all in love what I said. So I ain't judging nobody. It's just making sure that the kids who after last Monday who came to me and said, Mr. Ed, don't stop preaching again. I want to make sure that these messages reach them. You know what I mean? But when you understand this concept and you're like, man, yo, am I even saved? Because if I know that I'm saved and I know once saved is always saved, then if my soul has been secured, then my eternity is secured. So now if I know that eternity cannot be snatched out of my hand, and if I know that I will never perish, then I don't have to worry about hell. Right now, if I were to drop dead or if all hell breaks loose, man, it's like my eternity is secured. Do you know how excited I am? Kind of excited I am, if I'm really honest, because I do have a new baby girl. Like, I do want to be there for her wedding. Like, I do want to see the day where I have a grandchild. Like, seeing my dad hold my daughter and seeing that the tears in his eyes because he was blessed to be old enough to hold a grandchild, that's something that I'm excited about as well. But no matter how much I love my wife and no matter how much I love my daughter, no matter how much I would love to see those experiences, I'm excited about eternity. I'm excited to see God. Like, who's excited? Like, you don't got to raise. Okay, you can raise your hand. How many people are excited? Double hands up to see God. That's a good feeling. And when you begin to fall in love, no, I don't say fall, but grow in love with him, then you can walk around eternity secure. Now, I'm done after this. Now, I say that, but what are some benefits to a believer whose eternity is secured and they don't have to think about, oh, I lost my salvation yesterday? What are some of the benefits that a person can have when they're eternally secured? Yes, sir.
You're not walking around with fear.
No fear. Good. That's a good one. What else? Yes, sir.
You're loving.
You're
loving.
Confident. Confident. What else? They got fruits. What else? One more. Joyful, yes, sir.
Peaceful.
What are some of the negative things that occurs if you think you can lose your salvation? Like, what are some of the things that will make how would a person feel they think, oh, man, did I lose it today? Yes.
You would start to, like, give up on certain things.
You'll give up.
Overthink.
Anxiety. Guilt. What else?
Disappointment.
Disappointed or feel like you disappointed him? Now, if you were God or a parent, not based upon how your parents treat you, but when you are a parent, do you want your children to grow up?
No.
So imagine you come every night you come home unassured, do I have a house today? Will we be on the street today? Will we? You know how much anxiety it is if you don't have a home secured? Like if your parents ain't handling their business and you on the street on Tuesday, but you're in a shelter by Thursday, you're going to be, I don't feel secure. But your parents or you as a parent, right now you're working on your dreams and goals to make a lot of money. So that when they come home, they know the lights will always be on. See, my wife would be anxious. She would be anxious She'll start overthinking. She'll start feeling disappointed. If she comes home every now and then, three times a month, cuts the light on, lights don't work. Turns the water on, the water don't work. Goes to her car, no full tank. She's not going to be secured because she don't feel safe. Once you know that you're eternally secured, because you really know for a fact that you are changed, and the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, they are what? New creation, new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become what? So, thank you. Yo, like, we know that one. I don't know what verse he was going on with that. But what I'm saying is that how can you be a new creature and be unnew? But if you're secured, you don't have to worry about wanting to give up. You actually feel like motivated to keep going. You won't start overthinking because you're like, you know what? My eternity is secure. Even if I make a mistake, because I'm secured by God, I don't even want to make that mistake no more. But if you keep sinning and you're like, man, God, you know, when I was, this was the dumbest thing I ever said in my life. Y'all know who Benny Hinn is, the healing evangelist back in the day? Right. So me and my homeboy, Brandon, we was in college. And in college, you start eating crazy. We was getting pizzas. We was getting, you know, Chinese food all the time. We said, you know what? We're going to eat crazy because all we got to do, you know, if we have a disease, all I got to do is get in Benny Hinn's line and we'll get healed. We actually said that jokingly, but not jokingly. That's dumb because we are pimping God like, oh, okay, I could just do whatever I want. All I got to do is say one prayer and I'm... No. When you truly understand what it means to be saved and what it means to actually have the evidence of it, then you'll know for a fact I'm secured. I don't fear nothing. I don't fear hell. I don't fear a bullet. They can put one right here by this temple and I won't fear. Would I be nervous? Yeah, of course. There's a gun right here. But will I fear it? No, because I know there's a 50-50 chance either this gun's going to jam or I'm going to jam in heaven. So whichever way it goes, it goes. I don't have to overthink no more. My eternity's secure. I don't got to overthink. Oh, because I made this mistake, does God love me? You don't got to worry about anxiety. You don't have to worry about guilt no more, etc. Because now you have a peace that you cannot explain. So what am I saying? Yes, you've heard it said before, and possibly you may hear the other side of it. But anytime someone tells you that you can lose your salvation, they're telling you that salvation is man-made and not God-made. Because anything God makes is eternal. Now, the real question is, do you actually have that? If you don't possess that right now, then yeah, your salvation can be lost. We're talking about the salvation you made. The day you went to the altar and made that appointment, that day you made it. If you made the salvation, that salvation you can lose because all you got to do is say, you know what? I don't want to be saved no more. You know how many people, you know, as you get older, you begin to see people who once loved God, went to church, did all the great stuff, and now they in a whole different lifestyle. They were never saved. Possibly never. We're talking about out here sinning like wild, right? That's evident they probably was never saved, but who knows? But what am I saying is that when God has gotten a hold of you, nothing can take you out of his hand. Amen. So any questions, thoughts, comments on that? Yeah, we're done. That's pretty much it. I read the verse again. It says, my sheep hear my voice. Do you know his voice? And he says, I know them. And they follow me. And my question to you is, what are you following? What are you listening to? And he says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. And so if you're in the hand of God, nothing and no one will snatch you out of his hand. Everybody's good? Yeah. Are y'all good to go? We're done. You're welcome.